At Cool Air Products, we developed AC Smart Seal Quick Shot with professionals in mind. It's the only product on the market that's 3-in-1, with sealant, lubricant, and UV dye all in a single application. It's non-toxic, non-flammable, 100% safe to the touch, eco-friendly, and compatible with all refrigerants. It's a safe solution option, backed by years of R&D, Intertech tested, and has sealed millions of leaks. AC Smart Seal, the professional's choice.
What's up, guys? Welcome back to the podcast. So we have Jim Foltz on the podcast, and we're going to talk hot surface ignition. So in front of me right now, I'm holding a hot surface ignition module, which is a universal part from White Rogers. It's a 50E47U-843. And Jim's going to talk about this specific product and how it can be utilized in the field. It replaces 325 plus part numbers. And he's also going to break down the changes that have happened at Emerson and now how they're a standalone company called Copeland. And he's going to go through all that so we have a firm understanding of what's going on. So this is the HVAC Know-It-All Podcast, guys. I'm your host, Gary McCready. This podcast is sponsored by Master, and they have their own lineup of heat pump, ductless and centralized. I'm installing one currently, waiting for the electrician to do some stuff, and I'll be going back to finish my scope and start the machine up. I'm looking forward to it. So if you guys are looking into ductless and heat pump, centralized heat pump products, and you're interested in the MoveAir, go to Master and talk to your rep or check out master.ca. This podcast is sponsored by Cintas. They are providers of blue collar uniforms for different seasons. Hey, we're heading into fall, we're heading into winter, and we're going to look to stay warm with jackets and vests and toques. Toque is the way us Canadians say beanies, I believe, is the translation in the United States, but we call them toques here in Canada. And if you guys are looking to up your game in the uniform department, check out cintas.com/HVAC Know-It-All. So now that the busy season of summer is over in a lot of places, I know some of the southern states, you might still be running around doing no cools and stuff like that. And I get that. But for a lot of us in Canada, northern U.S. states, we are kind of wrapping up cooling season in a way, right? And getting ready for heating season. So this is an opportune time to do a little bit of maintenance on your hoses and change out your seals and all that. And Yellow Jacket has a pick that's designed to pull the old seals out that are stuck and compressed in. And you can buy all these seals from Yellow Jacket and get them all replaced. You can actually buy kits as well. So seals kits, gauge repair kits, you can get all that stuff from YJ. So check them out online, guys, yellowjacket.com.
Welcome to the HVAC Know-It-All Podcast. Recorded from a basement somewhere in Toronto, Canada. Your host and HVAC tech, Gary McCready, will take you on a deep dive into the industry, discussing all things HVAC. From storytelling to technical discussion. Enjoy the show.
All right, Jim, hot surface ignition. We're gonna chat about hot surface ignition because of the new part that... I'm confused. White Rogers. Okay, so maybe can you explain the whole company changing? Can we do that first? Because I think there's a lot of confusion out there. Even when I post about stuff, that there seems to be a bit of confusion. So Emerson, White Rogers, Copeland, the whole thing. You want to maybe just break it down for us quick?
Yeah. No, that sounds great. The overall company in the past was Emerson. White Rogers was acquired by Emerson a number of years ago. They also acquired companies like Copeland, which is the compressor division located in Sydney, Ohio. White Rogers is based out of St. Louis, Missouri. They were a little further west there, close to St. Louis, but kind of in suburbs. Really, that's where the headquarters was. We're just west of downtown St. Louis. But there's some other companies. There's Verdant, which is a thermostat company located up in your territory or neck of the woods in Canada there, that basically is targeting the hospitality market.
Okay.
In other words, hotels and places like that. If you go into a hotel, check out the thermostat. You might find a Verdant thermostat there on the wall. And that was a part of the company. And this spring, the heating and cooling portion of Emerson, it was called Residential and Commercial Solutions, was sold off by Emerson. And the company that acquired that is Blackstone. And so Blackstone is the current company owner, and we're really kind of new in that yet as far as what's going on with that, how that transition's all coming out. Mm-hmm. We're still working through a lot of those details, but at this point we know that the Copeland name is solid. The White Rogers name is a name that will continue to be utilized and used, and what was sold off became its own company in a sense. It's been said that we're a $5 billion startup company. And with that, it got renamed, and the name chosen for the company that was pulled off was Copeland. So that's kind of the confusing part, is Copeland is now the umbrella name, just like Emerson was.
Gotcha.
And underneath that umbrella name is the Copeland compressor portion, as well as the White Rogers name as well. So, and there's a couple more. There's, I believe, five total companies that were, including Verdant, that were sold off to begin this new venture. So that, I don't know if that helps explain it or
not. Yeah. No, it does. It does. And I knew the Copeland was the name, but there's people in the audience that probably didn't know that this even happened, and probably some that did were just confused by it. So we have a new company, a new name, Copeland, and then Copeland is the umbrella company with White Rogers and stuff underneath it. And that's what we're going to talk about today, is a White Rogers product. It's another universal product, and I've installed the AllSpark. I've installed the Sure Switch, and I've had luck with both of them. I wouldn't say luck, I guess. I've had a success, I would say, with both of them. And I mean, they're good products, and it comes out of the same company, right? So this one here is for hot surface ignition, and I'll just rhyme off the model number here. It's a 50E47U-843, and this is a universal product that takes the place of, I believe it's 325 other part numbers that are out there in the hot surface.
That's correct. Okay. Yes.
Okay, perfect. So where did the thought process come to create a universal product like this? Is it just along the lines of like the AllSpark, is just to have a universal part in your truck so you don't have to stock, like, you know what I mean, different products from different OEMs to have with you at all times?
And this product was actually replacing a 50E47 without the U843. So we've had in the past a universal hot surface ignition module. The difference was that old module had these little key cards that had to be put in depending on what the timing was that you were replacing. And so you had to figure out what your old timing was, find a matching key card, put it in. It came with this little clipped together set of key cards of four or five that was something that the technician was having to try to figure out on their own. And it's doable. We sold a lot of them through the years. We just wanted to make it easier than what we had in the past. And with the success of AllSpark and the simplicity of being able to easily set up the control with a phone app, we wanted to update the hot surface ignition module to do the same.
Perfect. Okay.
So that's one thing that I do like to clarify on what we're talking about today, and that is the term that we use with this, which is module. And in the past, historically, the furnace system would have some type of a blower, a temperature sensor or bimetal that would actually turn that blower on. It was separate. There were separate limits. The ignition was a lot of times standing pilot, so there wasn't really any ignition process to go through. Yeah. And each part of the furnace was separate. And what we started to get at that point was these modules, which would take care of all the ignition portion. There's also a fan timer module, which would take care of all of the blower timings of timing it on and off rather than using a bimetal switch, which would last a lot longer. And so after that point, we got the unit or a control that did everything. And we called those integrated furnace controls, IFCs. Mm-hmm. And an IFC took care of all of the burner operation as well as all the blower operation. And so that's that complete integrated control versus what we're talking about today. And we do refer to it sometimes as a control, but we also attach the name module to it. And a module is not a fully integrated control. It's only a piece of that.
Gotcha.
And so the hot surface ignition module that we're going to go through here today is for the ignition part only. It has no blower control on it whatsoever.
Okay, perfect. But it does have an induced blower control built in, right?
So the inducer circuit is part of the circuit that would be connected with the burner portion.
Yep.
Of if this was in a furnace, and not only the inducer circuit, but also the pressure switch circuit, which would be the safety for that inducer to make sure that the flue is unrestricted prior to the trial for ignition. So within the harness, the 11-pin harness, there are pressure switch in and out wires that can connect to that pressure switch and verify the inducer.
Perfect.
Is used as well.
Yeah. And I mean, as I was reading through some of the specs on it, the hot surface igniter, it can be anywhere from 24 volts, 120 to 240. We can use any three of those voltages.
Correct.
Ranges for a hot surface igniter on this module as well, right?
That is correct. And I was privileged to be a part of the discussion of that and trying to make sure that the technician understood that it was as easy as possible to hook up. And the inputs on this would be L1 and L2. And L1 and L2 is where you put 24, 120, or 240 on. And the outputs would be an HSI1 and an HSI2. So that's your hot surface 1 and 2. So you have an L1 in, HSI1 out, L2 in, HSI2 out. There is some additional silk screening on this. With the HSI2, we also put the initials FS, which is for flame sensed, because sometimes the flame is sensed through the neutral side of the power to the hot surface igniter. Other times it's its own flame sense probe, and there's a jumper, just like AllSpark, that you would remove that jumper and be able to put that separate probe directly onto a 3/16 spade.
This jumper.
To sense the flame. Yes. Yep. That jumper right there that would be remote. The only other terminal for the hot surface igniter is this HSI 240. And the way that I like to explain it that makes it easy to understand is it's HSI 240. And that does not mean that the igniter's 240. It means that the power going to it is 240, because the applications are for some of these, really in probably the primary use of this is pool heaters that these have been put into. And there's 240 going into the pool heater, but the hot surface igniter itself is only a 120 hot surface igniter. And so what happens is if you put 240 L1 and L2, 240 in and HSI1, HSI2, you're going to get 240 out and you're going to have twice the voltage for that hot surface igniter. And so this additional terminal, HSI 240, is a label saying you have 240 going into the board, and this terminal is the 120 terminal. Oh, okay. Coming out.
It's cutting
the 240 in half and allowing a 120 volt hot surface igniter to be installed on the control that has 240 volts going into it.
Okay.
So it is a little bit hard to work through that. We've done our best and made sure that was clear in the installation instructions. And that's something that we didn't come up with the HSI 240 nomenclature. We were replicating what is out there in the field with OEM products, and so we wanted to make sure that it was the same label as the old. So the technician, if they have a old OEM that says HSI 240, that's what that is. That matches directly up to
okay. it. Okay. Well, I appreciate that explanation because I was when I read it, I hadn't recalled seeing a 240 hot surface igniter in the field, but I mean, I haven't seen everything in the field. So I was actually, I shouldn't never assume, but I was actually presuming that it was a 240 volt hot surface igniter that you're trying to power up. So that's some good clarification there. So I do want to ask you about flame sensing. So obviously we're going to be using flame rectification on this because it's got a flame sense microamp number. And I'm going to ask you about this because it says 1 volt DC, and then there's a, like a colon, then it says 1 microamp. So do you want to explain why those two units of measure are there?
So WiseHire's platform was developed and designed to help people find the candidates they need for their business. And if you're struggling to find candidates, if you're struggling to find people to work within your business and you haven't given them a try, wisehire.com is the website. So they have an easy kind of template to create an ad really, really quick. And then they have on the back end, the experts that will help to optimize your ads as well. So if you haven't tried them out, guys, check out wisehire.com. So Chirp is an automated tool that runs in the background, integrates with your CRM, your customer relationship management tool. And what it's doing is after you create the campaigns, you can target your customers in an automated fashion to stay in touch with them through the year, right? There's different things that you can set up. And really what you want to do is, I mean, you can send out really nice messages like happy birthday and Merry Christmas and all that kind of stuff, happy Hanukkah, whatever their religion is. And you can really hone in on the shoulder seasons and make sure that they're keeping up with maintenance and things like indoor air quality, changing their filter and stuff like that. So it's a really good way to stay in touch with your customers and generate some shoulder season work as well. So check out chirp.com. So we've talked about it in the past where universal parts can really be helpful on the truck. If you're driving around, you don't have the OEM with you, it's not available, you got to order it, there's lead time. It's really going to be helpful to get you and your customer out of a jam, okay? And I mean, it's really up to you. Some people say they're going to go back and put the OEM in. Some people are going to leave the universal part. I mean, it's totally up to you guys, but if it's running and it's working, is a customer really going to want you to come back and change the part out again after you've done the work and you've got it up and running already? And I mean, the way White Rogers makes these parts, they're not below OEM grade. These things are quality. So thank you, Jim, for getting on the podcast. And this is some good information, guys. Another quality universal part coming out of this company, guys. But I'm out. Happy HVACing.
Sure, and that is a definition that is on the front of the control. But if you go clear to the right side of the control, yep. There's a couple test pins.
Okay.
And those test pins are something that we put on quite a few of our more recent controls. And what it allows you to do is to test the flame sense without pulling a wire off and putting your meter in series and having to have a DC microamp meter.
Yeah.
These two test pins allow you to test for what that flame current is with a standard DC volt setting on a meter.
I like that.
And you just put one probe on each one, and what you get DC on the meter is a ratio of 1:1, 1 volt DC equals 1 microamp. Now, I want to add a little bit more to that because I find people that are using that, I would like to ask them why they want to test the flame current voltage on this control. And the reason I would ask them that is because this control, once you go into the heat mode and you actually have flame current and flame present in the unit yep. that you're working on, the three-digit display on the control mm-hmm. will flash between the letters HT and a C standing for current, and then a number, decimal point, number. And so you can read the flame current right off of the digital display when it's running. So the need to pull a meter out and even have to go through those steps, we've eliminated. You have the ability to see what the flame current is in real time while it's actually functioning. So it's a really cool feature that's on this. It's on our 50 M56X universal. It's an 843 universal integrated furnace control that we came out with last year as well. So a new really cool feature that allows techs to check what's going on in real time without pulling out the meter. And another little tip that I'd like to add with that is with this feature, or whenever you're testing flame current, especially when you're commissioning a new piece of equipment, take a Sharpie and write the flame current down on the inside of the furnace, so that anytime you go back to that job or anybody shows up at that piece of equipment and they test the flame current, they have a record there to say, hey, this is what it was new. Mm-hmm. Oh, look, this is where we're at now. It's degraded from where it's at. Is it because the probe itself is degraded, or because it's dirty and we need to pull it out and clean? And you clean it and it's still a lot lower than what it was new. It may be something you go to the homeowner and say, hey, we need to put a new flame rod in this as well. So keeping track of that internally in the equipment is a really easy way to ensure that you do have that good flame current throughout the life of the furnace.
I'm going to, I guess, is one microamp is enough to keep this control going, enough to say, hey, we got flame?
It is.
Okay, so that's low as compared to some other controllers, right? Some other controllers want to see at least two-ish around there.
We have the lowest in the industry. We actually can sense down to a half a microamp, and somewhere around 0.6, 0.7. If we get down that low, the control will recognize where it's at and actually flash a code saying that it has a weak signal. So you know when you see that code, hey, we're really down to where things need cleaned and taken care of. But yeah, that ability to sense that low is something that we think is very special to be able to get that low and have that safety.
And the advantage of that is it can basically sense longer over a period of time without having the flame sensor clean. Like maybe a controller that needs to sense two or three, you might have to clean the flame sensor every 2 to 3 years, but a control that can sense lower, it might be every 3 to 4 years, mm-hmm. or something like that, for example, right? Let me take you off topic for one sec. I just want to talk, not really off topic, but away from the control, and talk about flame sensors for a minute. Now, I read, I believe it was one of, I'm sure it was one of the manuals that you guys had out on something. And I thought it was actually a very cool sort of tip. And it was to meg a flame sensor and its insulator, right? So I've had problems with flame sensors in the past where the, mm-hmm. the ceramic insulators were weak or cracked, or they were just poorly made, and it was dissipating. It was like dissipating to ground across the ground surface, because it was actually the flame mm-hmm. signal was actually coming through the insulator. So there was an instruction. I actually made a YouTube video on it, a minute and a half video. I might even link it to this in the summary of this. We're showing using a megger on a flame sensor to check the insulation value of that ceramic piece that the flame rod goes through. Because, I mean, you could be scratching your head on a job, like go clean a flame sensor, put it back in. Oh man, the flame mm-hmm. sensor's clean. It's still not working. I'm going to replace the module now. You replace the module and it's still not working, but it's really that flame sensor. It's to the naked eye, you can't see it, but there's insulation breakdown or a hairline crack or something that you can't see.
Yeah.
Is that something that you've encountered or talked about in the past?
That is something when we're going through training, I do have a slide that covers that is one of the things that you do need to look out for, is to make sure when you have that flame sense rod out that you are visually inspecting all the way around that ceramic where the piece that you would have your screw hole where you would attach it, which attaches to the outside of that ceramic. Make sure that as you look at the end where that's attached, that there is no visible type of hairline crack. And then as well, you can mag through that metal piece to the rod going through the middle and see if there is any bleeding or leaking through there, because that is something that will definitely affect any crack in the ceramic will affect the performance of how much flame sense is being read by the module.
Yeah. And I want to throw this out there too, because this was it wasn't mind blowing to me, but it was like, this is really frustrating. It was, I was working on a heating section of a rooftop and I got a new sparker, cause I was changing out the ignition module and a burner, like a runner in the burner and stuff like that, cause it was all rusted. And I find an outdoor rooftop equipment, the electrodes, like the sparkers and the flame sensors, they can get really rusty over time because of the moisture outside. So if I'm pulling out a burner and I'm replacing things in the burner and cleaning the burner, if they're rusted out, I'll just replace them. But what I found was this brand new sparker, this happened to me 3 or 4 times on different pieces of equipment. The same batch of sparkers were bad. The insulation value must have sucked, because what would happen is I would try to spark the thing to ignite. And what was happening is the spark, you could hear it dissipating. You could hear it was very weak and dissipating across. and what I had to do was the metal bracket that the insulator went through, I had to tape it up with electrical tape and then put it onto the burner itself. And then it worked. So insulating the whole thing from the burner plate, right, made it work. So obviously there was some insulation issues with that batch, and it was happening every time I bought one. And I told the manufacturer, I don't know if anything was done with it. I'm like, guys, your flame rods they're not working properly. So I just wanted to throw that in there as something that people may come across when they're working with heating equipment. I know it's not hot surface igniters, but anyway, we'll get back to this particular we'll get back to this particular part here. I just wanted to throw that in there. So
yes,
go on, Jim.
Let's go through the kind of, I alluded to, I think we can lead into this here a little bit. Pool heaters for the application of the 50E47U, A43. That is one of the things that there are a tremendous amount of and still being made of pieces of equipment out there that do use a hot surface ignition module. Water heaters, unit heaters, gas furnaces, although a lot of those gas furnaces, they're aging out. They, at this point in their life, there's not a tremendous amount of those out there yet, but there are still a few. Boilers, cooking equipment, laundry equipment, infrared heaters, tube heaters, those type of heaters are still using some. They are in agricultural heaters somewhat, but you have to be careful with some of those, because the newer agricultural heaters have all their controls in a plastic sealed box to keep the ammonia from like hog buildings to corrode the controls. And those plastic boxes are limited in size. So sometimes the application will work, but the actual OEM is footprint's a little bit smaller. And so you have to watch out for that to make sure that the module will fit exactly where the old one is coming out of. Now,
gotcha.
On Honeywell and Fenwall, both of those controls, we actually match the mounting holes on ours. So if it's either one of those controls, we're definitely going to fit in replacement of where that old one was out of. So it's somewhat unique applications that you may need to watch out for that.
Mm-hmm. There's a terminal at the top I'm just noticing here. It's like a two-prong terminal, and it says temp right above it. What is that for?
Correct. So that is the same terminal that we would have had on AllSpark, or have on AllSpark.
Okay.
And that is for a remote temperature sensor. So this control can be used as the thermostat for the system as well. And that's for something like a tube heater or infrared heater.
Oh, okay.
You got hanging from the ceiling. You can attach a temperature probe to this, and the option select button on the control turns into an up and down temperature with the display showing the room temperature as well as the temperature that when you push one of the buttons, what you have it set at. And the nice part about that is we do have a nice swing in the temperature offset for that, because a lot of times if you're 15, 20 feet in the air, your temperature up there is going to be different than the floor temperature. So if you're wanting to set the control so that it's showing or displaying the floor temperature, you can offset the temperature on the display off from what the actual temperature the sensor sensing 20 feet in the air.
Interesting. Cool. So that covers that. Now, I mean, just like the AllSpark, we have NFC technology being utilized here so we can set everything up with a smartphone in the field or at the shop or wherever you are in the van before you even go in, if you know what your if you kind of know what your parameters are off your old existing module. So how does that work? Tell us how that works with the NFC and using your smartphone to set it up.
So the NFC portion of this is used with a app on a smartphone, whether it's Android or iPhone, either one. We have apps in both the stores. Those apps use a technology called near field communication. It's the same communication that's used if you store credit cards on your phone and you go to a store and you can tap your phone on the credit card reader and it'll send your credit card number to that reader. We're using that same technology. And we have it in three products now. We have it in not only the AllSpark, which is the 50D50U843. We also have it in an integrated furnace control I mentioned earlier, the 50M56X843, and now this hot surface ignition module. So there's three controls that have it within that app. And I might interject here, when we first were coming out with this and utilizing this, the actual time it took to upload the material or the data from the phone back into the control, we recommended 5 to 10 seconds holding the phone steady on the control. You will see with this new module that we have greatly improved that time. It's only a couple seconds that we can get that data back in. And for reading the control, you don't have to have the phone laying completely on the control. We can be a few centimeters away at this point and still pick that control up. So we're getting better range and we're getting faster response time with this NFC. And then within that app, the White Rogers Connect app, we have the ability to do all of the setup. We can read diagnostics of what the input voltages are, the fuse, various things on that. We also have, and I might got ahead of myself on that. I'm going to pull that up here real quick while we're going through this. That was status. That was not diagnostic. Status tells us everything that's going on. It's kind of a snapshot. It's not in real time, active and moving with that. It's just a picture when you actually read the control, what's going on. Diagnostics would be, in the past, we would have, well, early on, you had LEDs that flashed. That's how you could tell what was going on.
Yep.
We've since switched to the digital display that you can actually read a code and know what's going on. And that same code is within the app. So you see the code, the error code on the diagnostics tab in the app. It also tells what that code means. And it also has a little information button beside that line that you can tap on that and give you a little hint or tip of what to look for, what to work on to correct that error. And then the final tab on within that app is about, which gives all of the information about the control in the past. You needed to know something about the control, the firmware, when it was made. You was looking for a sticker. You was looking for some type of code, date code or anything of that nature written on it. All that information is now in the app. So you're not hunting all over the control to figure out which is the correct sticker you're wanting to read. And with that about, we also have a link to tech support as well as all of our training resources, which in true fashion of the rest, we've been able to make an installation video of this control and link it in our website to the app so you can actually watch the step-by-step of how to install it in that.
Perfect.
Awesome. And if I remember correctly, this app or this video for this control, we actually do install it in a pool heater. So a little bit of diversity rather than your standard furnace installation videos.
Nice. Okay, cool. So, I mean, it does have a 5-amp fuse on it, which is going to protect the module from any weird power spikes or dead shorts or anything like that. The digital display at the bottom with the buttons. Now, there is a blue connection at the top. I don't know if we went over that. Do you want to discuss what that blue connection is?
We have not. That is a connector that we have been putting on all of our controls within the past recent years here, and that is designed for us to be able to hook up a little box on it. My example is if you ever played a Game Boy, or a small video game, you had game cards that you slid into that slot, and you had a different game. And the module that would plug into this control is kind of like one of those Game Boys, about the size of a Game Boy card that would connect to that. And the technology, what we're looking to be able to do with that is to be able to connect a card that would read to a smartphone, and you would be able to get that real-time information directly from that and see exactly what's going on in the control. So it's for future use is the way that it's put. It's something that's not fully developed yet, and we're continuing to work on that.
Okay, cool. So is there anything you think that we haven't covered here as far as the operation and any of the features on this controller?
I think we've went through... there you go.
Watch what
module,
I say.
The only thing that I can think of that would be left is that 11-pin harness on the side that's for all the 24-volt wiring. And we make it so that all of the low-voltage wiring can be pulled off the old control while it is still in the pieces of equipment. And the harness itself has labels on it, so you can pull the old wire off the control, put it on the correctly labeled wire on the harness, and you don't have a whole control that you're trying to balance with one hand while you're pulling wires off and connect to it, and it's dangling there in midair. It makes it so that you're just wiring a harness, and then you pull off the power and the igniter wires off the old control, and you're ready to remove it and put this in, the new control in. And it just makes that installation a lot easier with the harness being able to be plugged in and do the one-to-one wire transfer if you like to do that. In that style, the harness does come with quarter-inch spade connectors, and there are quite a few controls out there that a lot of those wires might be 3/16 instead of quarter-inch.
Yep.
And we do supply a little accessory bag that has all of the needed 3/16 spade connectors in that. So if you do run into that, you're not scrambling in the van trying to find the connectors to make that work. We supply those so that it's right there in the box and you're good to go.
Perfect. Okay, cool. Awesome. So, I mean, another cool truck stock item that's going to alleviate you from possibly carrying three or four different brands of hot surface igniters in your van. And I think that's the whole point of this is to reduce the what you're carrying in your vehicle. I mean, I carry too much in my vehicle. I know I do because I wish I had more room in my van. Some customers have said to me after I diagnose something, "Oh, do you have that part in the truck?" And I'm like, "Well, no. I mean, if I had every part in my truck for every unit I work on, I'd have like an 18-wheeler behind me, right? Following me with all the parts that I need, right?" So I mean, but it's a reduction in what you got to carry. And I've, like I said, I've installed the AllSpark. I've installed Sure switches. I've actually got a Sure switch still in my unit at home that I put in 5 or 6 years ago, and I haven't had, knock on wood, I haven't had a problem with it in 5 or 6 years. So I mean, I understand where the engineering and the quality and all that comes from in these, because I've installed them and experienced them for myself. So Jim, man, this has been great. Thank you very much. I appreciate the rundown and the breakdown on this.
It's been a pleasure to talk to you again, Gary.
Yeah, man, for sure. Always is.
Very good. Yeah, no, as far.
Hope you enjoyed the show. Follow HVAC Know-It-All on Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, TikTok, Twitter, LinkedIn, and anywhere else Gary feels like popping up. This has been a Two Smokes and a Coffee production.